Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 8 lines from the top, more accurately 7 lines from the top of Daf Tes Zayin. You'll notice there is a diamond followed by an inverted triangle in the middle of the line. We are picking up this shiur in the middle of a discussion that began during our last shiur on Daf Tesvav concerning the gzera of tuma regarding kli zchuchis, glassware, as being subject to absorption of tuma. Even though the Torah does not record glass as a material when made into a vessel as being mekabel tuma, nevertheless the Rabbonin imposed tuma on it. The question is, why did they impose tuma on kli zchuchis? Or we can say the rabbinic imposition of tuma on kli zchuchis is patterned after what Torah type vessel? So up till now the Gemara was working with the idea that it was patterned after clay ware, after kli cheres. But that ran into trouble in our attempts to parallel glassware with earth with clayware. So at the end of our previous shiur, we closed with a new suggestion, and that is that the glassware is patterned after metallic vessels. We should point out that the diamond that we have in the middle of the line is explained on the side of the Gemara under our Mivneh heading. In this Mivneh heading, we indicate Ad Omid Beis to draw your attention to the fact that the next diamond will appear on Omid Beis. Shuvos la she'ela, these are responses to the question, Lama kli cheres mekablen tuma migabehen. Why is it that kli cheres will absorb tuma from tuma having contact with its outside, with its outside surface? This was pointed out toward the end of our previous year that unlike clayware, which is not mekabel tuma migabehen, kli zchuchis is. So the question then is, why is that so? So the Gemara answers, well, it's because the kli zchuchis is patterned after metallic vessels. The Gemara asks, Elo me'ata. Now this inverted triangle had been explained during our last year. These are challenges to the attempt to parallel glassware with metallic vessels. If it's so that the kli zechuchis is like matchis, yachsiru lutum oson yishana kekli matchis. They should have the possibility of returning to their old tuma, as is the case with kli matchis. What do we mean by returning to their old tuma? So let us go on in the Gemara and allow the Gemara to explain this concept of tuma yishana. And of course, we'll see that there is a difference between glass and metallic vessels within this realm. So the Gemara says, "Disnan kli matchis pshutein u'mekablein tamein." Metal vessels, whether they be flat metal vessels, flat meaning what the word pshutein means, something that's flat without a ability to hold liquids in them. They have no rim to them. Something like a board made of metal, as opposed to wood that has no base kibul. A pshute kli eitz is not mekabel tuma, but here we're talking about kli matchis, metal vessels, pshutein, u'mekablein. This is where they are carved out, where they have a receptacle capacity that's a base kibul, tamein. They will mekabel tuma. They can absorb tuma. Nishberu, if they break Tiharu, the fact that they are the Kli Matris is broken, so the Tumah that it may have had departs. Chozru v'osa mehen kelim, if the metallic vessels are refashioned into vessels, chozru l'tumason yishana, the old Tumah comes back. This issue of why this happens it will be explained later in the Gemara, but for our purposes we have to deal with procedure. That is that there will be a restoration of the old Tumah, even though there was no contact with any subsequent Tumah. The mere fact that it once was Tameh is enough reason for them to be reestablished as Tameh upon the repairing of these vessels. That's with regard to Kli Matris, metal, the Ilu Gabi Kli Zuchis, but with regard to glass vessels, Tanan, the following source tells us otherwise. And with our markings, you will see we've squiggled under the word Kli Zuchis, and at the end of the source, you see a dashed underline Mikan Ulahabo, from which the Gemara will infer after the source Mikan Ulahabo, in Lafer Lo, there's only Tumah from that point on, but no retroactive Tumah, contrary to what we say by the Kli Matris. So let's read the source in its entirety. Regarding Kli Zuchis Tanan, Kli Eitz, Kli Or, Kli Etzem, Kli Zuchis, different types of materials. You have wood, leather, bone, or glass. Pshutayan Tahorin, if they are flat, so they are not Mekabel Tumah. Umekablein tameim, if they have a base kibul, liquids could be contained within them. Things would not roll out of them. We said before, liquids, maybe that's not accurate enough, but they can contain things, being that they have a rim around them or sides to them. That's called mekablein. So they are, if they are, these materials have a base kibul, so they're mekabel tumah. Nishbaru, if they break, tahorin. Chozar v'osa mehen kelim, if they were then refashioned into vessels, mekablin tumah mikan ulabo, they will now be susceptible to absorbing tumah from this point onwards. Mikan ulabo in mafreya lo, only from this point that they've been refashioned, repaired, onwards, but no retroactive tumah. Showing you that kli zechuchas are not like kli matris. The Gemara answers, Tumas Kli Zuchuchis Derabbanan. Let it be known, first of all, let's establish that at this point the Kli Zuchuchis is like the Kli Matris. They are similar. In other words, the Kli Zuchuchis are patterned after the Kli Matris. If your whole question, your only problem is this issue of Tumah Yeshana, well, we have an answer for that. And that is as follows. Tumas Kli Zuchuchis Derabbanan. The basic Tumah associated with glassware is only rabbinic. The Tumah Yishona Derabbanan, the concept of reinstating a previous Tumah, is also merely rabbinic. B'Tumah D'Oraisa Achisu Bo Rabbanan Tumah, only with regard to materials that are Mekabel Tumah Midoraisa, as is the case with Mateches, metalware, the Rabbanan imposed, Achisu Bo Rabbanan, they imposed upon it their rabbinic Tumah of Tumah Yishana. However, the Tumah de Rabbanan, something, a material whose essential, whose basic Tumah is merely de Rabbanan, like is the case with Kli Zuchuchis, Lo Achisu Lo Rabbanan Tumah. The Rabbanan did not impose a rabbinic form of Tumah on a material that itself is rabbinic in nature. So, at this point, Kli Zuchuchis is like Kli Matris, and hence, the Kli Zuchuchis is Mekabel Tumah. As far as Tumah Yishana is concerned, that is an exception, simply because Tumah Yishana is the Rabbanan, and we don't impose the Rabbanan on Kli Zuchuchis, which itself is merely rabbinic. The Gemara asks, if it's so that Zuchuchis is like Mateches, Pshutehen, Miha Letame. Notice we have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the star above. in the source above, it mentioned that kli zchuchus pshutayan, flat glassware, is not mekabel tuma. But if glassware is patterned after metalware, pshutayan miha litame, let flat glassware be susceptible to tuma. The ha pshutay kli matris doraisa ninu, flat metalware is mekabel tuma on a Torah level. So that the concept of flatware is a Torah concept. So why don't we say flat glassware, albeit glass is the Rabbanan, but imposing tuma on flat glassware would not be a double rabbinic idea, because flatware is of a Torah nature, Torah level tuma. When it comes to the Kli Matris, the Gemara answers, Avdi Behu Rabbanan Hekera. The Rabbanan were aware of this, but they wanted a point of recognition. Ki hechi delo lisrof olayu truma v'kotchim. We wanted to have a clear distinction in some area of halacha between the kli matris and the kli zechuchis. Why were they interested in having a point of difference? So people would realize that the kli zechuchis is only rabbinic. If a kli zechuchis becomes tomei, it's maximum tuma would be rabbinic, and if truma or sacrificial food would come into contact with it, with the tomei glassware, we would not burn the truma. As we mentioned in our previous year, burning of truma is something that's prohibited by the Torah, unless you have something of some very extenuating circumstance, like we saw with regard to the sheish sfeikis that were discussed, that we discussed in our last year. However, in all other areas, when you're dealing with rabbinic tuma, we don't want to burn truma. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, Rav Ashi Omar. Now here we have a number two, and this ties into our numbering that we started on Omid Aleph, dealing with the issue of the kli zechuchis. Why is it that the outside of the kli zechuchis will be a means of its becoming tomei? So the first approach set up the kli zechuchis like kli matris. Rav Ashi goes back to the original approach, paralleling the kli zechuchis, the glassware, to clayware. Rav Ashi says the olam l'kli cheres tomu, going back to the original approach, that it is like kli cheres, and the reason for patterning the kli zechuchis after the kli cheres was because they both come from the same raw material. They're both formed from earth, glass from sand, and clayware from similar materials. Udekokashiloch, but you'll ask one second, if you want to parallel glassware to clayware, did we not have a question about that already? Lo litamu migabon, then the glassware should not be able to absorb tuma from contact between tuma and its outside surface. So you'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This is pointing to Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. If you go back to Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, you'll notice there at the top of the Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, it was there the issue of Tuma Migabon was raised. So this is simply a restatement of the question that was dealt with at the top of Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. So why is it then that the kli zechuchis, which is you're saying now is parallel to the kli cheres, why does the kli zechuchis absorb tuma migabon from its contact with its outside surface, which is not the case by kli cheres? So the answer to that is hayu v'nir'e toichoi keboro. Glass is transparent, and therefore you can see it's inside from its outside. So we'll just say in simple terms, its outside is considered like its inside, and therefore, it's not considered a true gav, a true outside surface. And as a result, the contact between kli zechuchis and tuma from its outside surface is as if it's having contact with the Kli Zeruis from within it. And certainly contact from within is a means of communicating Tumah to it, just as is the case with Kli Cheres. We go on in the Gemara, dealing with another point that had been we had seen before. Shimon ben Shetach tikein tsuba leisha v'gozar tumo al kli matches. Shimon ben Shetach established the ksuba for a woman, the guarantee for her to receive financial security in the event of her becoming a widow or divorced. That's called the ksuba. And he also imposed tuma on metalware. Here the Gemara focuses on the issue of kli matches and tuma. So the Gemara asks, kli matches doraisa ninu? The idea of kli matches of metal becoming tumei is not rabbinic. It's not a result of a gezeira of a rabbinic ruling. It is in the Torah. Dichtiv ach es hazov ve'esakesev v'chulei. That pasuk indicates that metalware, metallic vessels, are mekabel tuma. So what is meant by the source that indicates that Shimon ben Shetach made a gzera on Kli Matches? The Gemara answers, and you'll notice we have a long answer marking, and we also have a number one, and on the side of our Gemara, under our No Say heading, we have indicated Tuma Yishana B'Kli Matches. The Gemara answers, Lo Nitzricha, Elo Lutuma Yishana. The concept of Tuma being imposed on metalware isn't the initial Tuma, but it has to do with the topic we mentioned on Omid Aleph, this concept of reinstating old Tuma on a newly repaired metal vessel, a metal vessel that had originally been Tomei, broke, losing the Tumah, and then it being repaired. Shimon ben Shetach said, if that be the case, we are going to reinstate the old Tumah to the vessel. Even though there was an interim period that was broken, and at that point, a broken vessel loses its Tumah. The Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Maisa B'Shel Tzion HaMalka, an incident involving this queen, She'asta Mishte Livna, she prepared a feast for her son, v'nitmu kol kileha, and all of the vessels became tumei. Rashi says, kol hakelim b'meis, it was tumas meis that set in, tuma as a result of exposure to the dead. She'setzrich lahamten hazor, hazor shlishu shvi, she would ordinarily have had to wait a full week in order to have her vessels useful again, because something becomes Tomei Mace needs to have the sprinkling of the Mei Poraduma, the ash water mixture of the ashes of the red heifer, and that's done on the third and seventh day of the week after it becomes Tomei. Lefikoch, Rashi says, Shavrosan Lemayer Tarosan Lebobayom. She therefore smashed the vessels and had them immediately repaired in order to hasten they're becoming useful again. Of course, we will have to assume over here that this feast, she was quite concerned that everything be done in a state of tahara, whatever the reason being, whether there was kochim there, whether there was truma there, or they were very makbid, they were very concerned with eating their chulin in betahara. But she was very interested in the in there being everything being done betahara. So she didn't want to wait the full week that would have been required in the case of Tumas Meis. So she smashed them, and as the Gemara goes on to say, v'shibrosan, v'nosnosan l'tzoreif, she then gave it to the metal repair person, who was known as a tzoreif, v'rishon, and he repaired them, v'osomehen kelim chadoshim, and refashioned them into new vessels. Made them like new. V'omru chachomim, Yachsuru Lutumason Yishana. And the Rabbonin ruled they shall be reinstated to their original Tuma. My Taima. Why in the world did they say this? If on a from a Torah perspective the once the vessel is ruined, she smashed them, the tumah departs. So what's the reason for this imposing old tumah on it? So the Gemara answers, and we have with our markings, we use this house form to indicate explanations for the imposition of the old tumah. Mishum geder mei chatos nagu ba, because of the concern for mei chatos. Mei chatos is the water ash mixture that we made reference to before, the mei paraduma. And there was a concern that if smashing and subsequent repairing of vessels would be viewed as the means of achieving Tara, people would forget about the May Pora Aduma. They would forget about the whole process concerning the May Pora Aduma, and we mentioned, amongst other things, the sprinkling on it over the week that follows the Tumah, the third day and the seventh day of the week following the Tumah. But if the method that Shaltzion HaMalka did would become popular, so people would forget about Mei Chatos. The Gemara says, Ho nicho lemad amar lo lechol atumas omru, elo letumas mei spilvad omru, shapir. This explanation will conform to the approach that says Tumah Yishona was established only with regard to vessels that had become Tomei Meis, Tumah as a result of exposure to the dead. It's in that context that Mei Chatos becomes an issue, because Mei Chatos is used only in the context of Tumas Meis. So then, if you say that the whole realm of Tumah Yishona is in the realm of Tumas Meis, it's Tumas Meis that would be the Tumah that originally affected the vessel, and we are concerned with that area, that only in the realm of Tumah of Tumas Meis was the din of Tumah Yishona established, so then the Mei Chatos issue becomes a real concern. But according to the opinion that says that the concept of Tumah Yishona was imposed with regard to all Tumos, and all the other areas of Tumah have no connection to Mei Chatos, so Mei Chatos couldn't have been the concern of the rabbis when they established Tumah Yishona. So what is the reason for establishing Tumah Yishona, for this idea of reinstating the old tumah to a vessel to a metal vessel that had been smashed and repaired? Omar Abaye, Gzeira. Now you'll notice with our markings and our numberings, this is a second approach, and we're calling it Aleph, and then Rava will be called Beis, because these are, let's say, two responses, two parts of response, assuming the Madomar that says that Tumah Yishona applies to all other kinds of tumah as well, beyond Tumas Meis, making us less concerned with the issue of Mei Chatos. So Omar Abai, Gzeira Shema Lo Yikovenu Bechtei Taroso. We mentioned before that the smashing of the vessel and the subsequent repair is what took place. But it was in order to remove the tumah, the vessel had to be rendered useless. And that is accomplished by making a hole in the vessel, so it no longer is useful. However, the hole that's necessary to remove the tumah has a necessary dimension. And the dimension is associated with something called motzi rimon. If you assume that a rimon is a pomegranate, so it would be the size of a hole, the size hole through which a pomegranate would fall through such a hole. What we are worried about, if you're going to rely on the making of a hole and subsequent repair as a means of tahara alone, if you're going to rely on that and declare it to be tahar, completely tahar, we are afraid that someone might not make the necessary hole to remove the original tumah in the first place. So we say that, well, if you do this, if you try to remove tumah through making a hole and returning and repairing it, it won't work. Once again, because we're afraid that the initial hole that you made before repairing it wasn't big enough to remove the tumah in the first place. Rova Omar, Zero Shemo Yomru, we're afraid people may say, Tavila Bas Yoima Oilo La. If it were seen that vessels that became tumah were smashed and then repaired, are declared tor, people would think that, oh, you can achieve tara in one day, even before sundown. And people will think, well, just like that's mitayer, so too immersion in a mikveh is mitayer. And they'll come to think that immersion in a mikveh is mitayer even without the necessary harav shemesh, the necessary sundown. And they're not going to realize that there's a difference between the smashing method as opposed to the mikveh method. People will think that they'll see vessels that were used earlier that day that had been tumah, and then used the same day, later in the day, after they were repaired, but they're not going to realize what happened between the initial tumah and the subsequent use of the vessels, and they'll think that the vessels were simply immersed in a mikveh that day. And they won't necessarily know that they were smashed and repaired. So because of this possible mistake on the part of the public, we say that even if you do repair, even if you do smash the vessel and repair it, the old tumah will come back. Again, that's what is the reason for that? To prevent the mistake on the part of the public thinking that tevila bas yoma would be effective. My binai, what's the difference between Abaye's approach and Rava's approach? Iko binayu deratzfinu miratzef. Rashi, in explaining this, has two approaches, two opposite approaches. Let's take the first approach of Rashi. Rashi feels that the second approach is more appropriate. So there's a Rashi dibra masal deratzfinu miratzef, and then the iko di amri. In the Rashi, we squiggle on a line, the Iko de Amri in the Rashi, the beginning of the line, Shemo lo Yikovenu. We should explain, of course, Shiratzfinu Ratzef means it's completely smashed. Not just a hole, but the vessel is completely smashed. So Rashi says, V'Iko de Amri, Shemo lo Yikovenu, Iko. The fear of the, if we're going to rely on the smashing as a means of Tahara, we're afraid that the next guy might not make a hole big enough. However, Shemo Yomru, that people might think that Tevilo Bas Yom is effective, Leko, that's not a concern. And we explained before that in the Shemo Yomru scenario, people will think that it was immersed as opposed to having been had a hole made in it. And they'll think that the same day mikveh immersion is effective. However, if it's ratzfinu miratzef, there is no fear of that concern that people will misconstrue mikveh immersion and understand it to have same day tara prior to sunset. Toha minkar asiyo shenishkadesh kula, because if the vessel was completely smashed, it'll be clear to the public that this has been, it's been a reformed, renewed vessel, completely renewed, and they'll understand that that is what made it tar, and not think that it was simply immersed in a mikveh and being used the same day. Turning back to the Gemara, the idoch mahi, this bowtie shape, we had mentioned in one of our previous shurim, but here we make mention of it again. On the side, nosei klali, we have a general topic heading, and the mivneh with a structural note. The bowtie shape that you see highlights the word v'idoch, means and the other. Hashlomas harashima shel yudches dovar, bidaf yudalit omit beis. And we indicate from Daf Yud Dalam Beis that this issue came up, the calculating of the 18 gezeros that we learned about, or that were referred to in the Mishnah on Yud Gimel, on Daf Yud Gimel, and this marking will continue until Yud Zayin Amud Beis. So we're trying to complete the list of 18 gezeros, a number of which that we have already learned about. In other words, we had learned about the different things that would passel truma, and we also had mentioned in the past lo yifale and lo yikro lior haner. So, in addition to the list of things that we saw on Daf Yud Dalet, things that would passel truma. Actually, for accuracy purposes, we should say that we saw the beginning of this on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Toward the bottom of the Omid, the Gemara had asked, "What are the 18 things?" And we it opened up with the list of things that Elu Poislinus Atruma, and a list of items were mentioned there, plus the Lo Yafale and Lo Yikro Lior Haner. And now the Gemara wants to complete the list of 18. So that's the Gemara's question here that we've highlighted with the Idach. Idach Maihi, Disnan. We have a Tanaic source. Before we learn the Gemara, let's just glance at our topic heading. Hiniach Kli Tachas Atzinor Lekabel Mayim. A person placed a vessel under a drain pipe and to accumulate the water in the vessel. Masai nechshav shuvim lifsol es hamikvah. Under what circumstances will we say that the accumulated water is viewed as drawn water, mayim shuvim? And mayim shuvim, as we've learned in previous shurim, will passel a mikvah. And of course, as we mentioned in our previous shurim, that's a case where we have a mikvah that's not complete yet. It doesn't have its required 40 saw. If a certain amount of mayim shuvim falls into that mikveh, it stops it, it renders it unfit from becoming a kosher mikveh. So we're dealing with the placing of a vessel under a drain pipe to accumulate within it rainwater. rainwater, which if it were to fall directly into a pool, that would be kosher for a mikveh. However, we're dealing with the rainwater that finds its way into a vessel and then poured into the mikveh, there we have a potential problem. So the Gemara says, "Disnan haminiach kelim tachas atzinor lekabel bohen mei gishomim." Person placed a vessel under a pipe to accumulate rainwater. Echod kelim gedolim vechod kelim ktanim. Whether we're talking about large vessels or small vessels, v'afilu kleavonim, kleadomo, kleglolim, even if they happen to be stoneware or earthware or kleglolim. Rashi uses the expression here, shayish, even though there are different explanations elsewhere. It's another substance that we'll say there are three substances that are mentioned here are vessels that are not mekabel tuma. But being that even though the vessels themselves are not mekabel tuma, poislin es hamikvah, the water accumulated in them is nevertheless considered mayim shuvim. Echol haminiach vechan ha-shocheach, divrei be-shamay. We've dashed on ha-shocheach because this is where we become more interested or focused with regard to the gezeros, the 18 gezeros that were part of a machlokis between be-shamay and be-shilel. So be-shamay says it doesn't matter whether you placed the vessel there with intent, or you had forgotten the vessel there. It's nevertheless going to be considered drawn water. Ubeis Hillel mitarin b'shocheach. Beis Hillel says it, if the vessel was forgotten there, so it wouldn't be a problem of mayim shuvim, and they wouldn't passel the mikveh. Omar Rebbe Meir, Nimnu v'rovu be'shamay ad be'shilel. And here we've dashed underline this because this would qualify the topic as one of the 18. We're trying to count 18 examples of gzeros that resulted from the outnumbering of Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai over Beis Hillel. 18 cases where there was a vote taken, and the number of Beis Shammai representatives were found to be greater than the number of Beis Hillel representatives. So as far as Rebbe Meir is concerned, this case of Shocheach Kli and the water becoming considered Mayim Shuvim Lifsol, a mikvah would be a nice example. Would be another example that we can add to the list that we're trying to complete. Umoidim Beis Shammai v'shocheach v'chotzer shehu tohor. Beis Shammai will concede, however, if a person forgot a vessel, not under a pipe, which shows shows a certain level of intent for the water to accumulate in it, but if he left, let's say he forgot a vessel in the middle of a courtyard, not under a pipe, the water that accumulates in the vessel under those circumstances would not be considered she'uvim to pasul mikvah. Amar Rabbi Yossi, you notice with our numberings, we have a Roman numeral number 2 here. This is in contrast with the Roman numeral number 1 that we had by Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says, Adayin machloikis b'mekoyim medes. The case of the vessel under the pipe is still the subject of controversy, and in other words, the controversy remains, and it's not a case where a vote was taken on this topic, having Beis Shammai outnumbering and ruling accordingly. It still is a machlokas. So as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, this will not be one of the gzeros that would count toward the 18 where Beis Shammai overruled Beis Hillel. As the Gemara goes on, Gemara focuses on the details of the topic we just mentioned. Omer of Misharshia. Debei Rav Amri, Hakol Moidim. There's a unanimity. Kishinichom Bishas Kishur Ovim, Temeim, where the vessel was placed under the pipe at the time there was that it was overcast. Kishur Ovim, the gathering of clouds, we'll say overcast. And even if he forgot them, the vessels there, the water accumulated in them will be, it's called temeim, meaning it will render the mikveh unfit. Bishas pizur ovim divrei kol torim. A person who had placed a vessel on a clear day under the pipe, everyone will agree that the water is tohor, because there's no gilui das, there's no revealing of his mindset for water to accumulate. After all, it was a clear day. Before we go further in the Gemara, just let us glance at a Rashi. There's a little star that we've put in over the Rashi. Hinichon, a few lines down from here. Hinichon tachas atzinor b'shas kishur avim. A person placed a vessel under a pipe when it was overcast. The ichru kishamim lavo. The rain, however, didn't fall immediately. The yotzom lachtoi, the fellow went out to his work, the shachachon, and forgot the vessels. Divrei kol, everyone will agree, hoyol umitchila lekach niskavein, since at the outset it was clear that he intended the vessels to accumulate the water, lo botlo machshavoso b'shachoso. The fact that he forgot in the interim doesn't cancel his original intent. And there was intent for gathering water, making it into mayim she'uvim. So everyone agrees that that would be water to pasul mikvah. The second case that was mentioned was shas pizur ovim, placed under the pipe when it was a clear day, so that everyone agrees would not be a puzzle. Loi nechleku ela, the point of machlokas, we mentioned before there was a machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, lo nechleku ela, shenicho b'shas kishur ovim, v'nispazru, v'chozru v'niskashru. The vessel was placed when it was overcast. In the interim, though, the over the cloud cover cleared, and then there was a subsequent cloud cover. Mor sovar botlo machshavoso, the opinion that it's tohor, is that through the spreading of the clouds, that created a hesech hadas, a, let's say, disconnecting of his original intent. At that point, he figured, oh, it's not going to rain anymore. Umor sovar lo botlo machshavoso, the opinion that says that the water will pasel the mikveh, in other words, his original intent for gathering of water, making it into mayim shuvim, remains in place. And the fact that it became clear doesn't undo his original intent. The Gemara asks, Ulu Reb Yosi de Omar machloikis adayin bimkoyme medes. We saw this just a few lines up toward the end of the source, and you can see that we have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, drawing your attention to the star above, where Reb Yosi appeared. According to Reb Yosi, that says the machlokas remained, and you didn't have a case of Beis Shammai overruling Beis Hillel on the matter of the vessel that was placed, and there was forgetting in the interim. So, but the Gemara says Batsri Lahu. Let's read that line again. According to Reb Yosi, who says that regarding the kli tachta sinor, the machlokas is still in place. So batsri lahu, I'm missing now. I have less than the required number of examples to complete the list of 18. Omar Rebbe, we say the list of 18. Once again, it's 18 cases where Beis Shammai overruled Beis Hillel. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok af benois kusim nidois me'arisusan me'arisoson bo bayom gozru. Kusim are people that don't, there are people who joined, converted to Judaism, but they are not, they don't accept Torah Shebal Peh. So they don't darshan the word v'isha in the Torah in the context of a woman becoming tummy through a blood flow. They don't darshan the word v'isha to include a girl, even if she's a one-day-old infant. The way that we approach the matter is that a girl, if she experiences a menstrual flow, even if she's a day old, she becomes a nida. Since they don't accept that, we made a ruling across the boards that all infant kusi girls are nidos. Marisosan literally is from their cradles. That idea of imposing an unqualified, across the boards, tuma on infant kusi girls was established that day. It was one of these things that they had ruled upon, and we'll just assume that it was a case that there had been a machlokas, and the Beis Shammai outnumbered Beis Hillel on this matter. The idach mahi, as we proceed to complete the list, what else can be included? Disnan, kol hametaflin mevienes atuma beuve hamardea. The topic at hand is described, we gave this a little bit of a title on the side of our Gemara under our Nose heading, Havas Hatuma Ayadei Kli Shub Keuve Hamardea V'ein Baruch Bo Tefach Ele Yesh Behekefo Tefach. So maybe a word of introduction, and that is that the concept of Oyel Hatuma, overshadowing the dead or a grave, one becomes Tomei if he naturally leaned over a grave, but not only that, but if there's an overhang, something above a person and a grave at the same time, the tumah will rise till it reaches this overhang, and it will then move over and across and down onto a person that's under the same overhang. The concept of overhang or oil is true, applies as long as the item that is overshadowing the mace and the individual or the item has a width of a tefach, a handbreadth in width. So imagine a board. A board that is over a grave on one end and over a person or a vessel or food on another end. If the board has a handbreadth in width, a tefach in width, so whatever is under the board will become tamei. And we say tamei means tamei midoraisa, and he'll have to wait 7 days and eventually go to the mikveh, and during the 7 days, on the third and seventh day, he'll have the mei chatos application, the mei paraduma sprinkling on him. There is a teaching in this source, which we'll eventually find out is a rabbinic teaching, that if the item overshadowing is keuvei hamardea, uvei hamardea, mardea is a sometimes translated as an ox goad. It essentially it's a pole at the end of which there is a nail which is used for spurring on animals to do their work. This pole or ox goad is has a diameter, or has a, we'll say, has a diameter that is a third of a tefach. The mardea has a circumference of a tefach, a diameter a third of it. Oh, there's a diameter circumference ratio of 3 to 1. Any vessel then that has this dimension to it, that's called uvei hamardea, which is we can say now is a third of a tefach, will bring tuma to the person under it. Let's now continue with the source. Kol ha-metatlin mevi'in es ha-tuma. Mevi'in is to bring the tuma over from one end, which is overshadowing a mace, and the other end there's a person. And the conveyance of the tuma will be as long as the overshadowing item has this dimension to it, ovei hamardea, which is, we say, a third of a tefach. Omar Rabbi Tarfon. The Gemara continues to the top of Yud Zayin Omar Aleph. Rabbi Tarfon is very upset with this ruling. He says, Akapechas bonai, I will cut down my children. Shezu halacha mekupechas. This is a mistake, and this is a cut down halacha. Sheshoma hashomea v'toh. Someone heard a ruling and made a mistake. Rabbi Tarfon's expression of akapechas bonai shezu halacha mekupechas is the subject of quite a bit of a discussion in different meforshim, but for our purposes, he intends to exclaim. He's making an exclamation, saying, "By golly, this is a mistake." Well, what led to the mistake? The source goes on, Ha'ikor oiver umar da'oi al ksefoi. There was a farmer walking along with his ox goad on his shoulder, v'ihel tzido achas al hakever, and one end of it overshadowed a grave. Tin'u oisoi mishum kelim ama'ilim alames. The mardea was declared to be tamei as by virtue of the fact that it was overshadowing a grave. That is true, that a vessel, regardless of its size, even a very small vessel, will makabel tuma, because kelim are makabel tuma b'kolshu, whatever size they are, by the fact that it is overshadowing a grave. Now, that was the actual ruling. Let us what happened, Rabbi Tarfon claims, is that the fact that they made the vessel into what's called an av hatuma, and by virtue of the fact that the vessel becomes an av hatuma, it will be tame for 7 days, as we explained before. But the person who heard this ruling, we should point out one more detail, and that is that once the vessel becomes an avatuma, the farmer himself, he becomes tomei as well, but not for 7 days. He becomes tomei till the evening, or tumas erev, because the avatuma communicates tuma to the man, making him a rishon l'tuma, and he becomes tomei till the end of the day. However, the person that heard this, he thought that since the vessel was declared to be tamei for 7 days, so the farmer that was carrying it, in other words, he was at the other end of it, he also became tamei as an av hatumah for a 7 day tamei period. And well, Rabbi Tarfon says that is a mistake. Omar Rabbi Akiva, ani asakein shiu divrei chachomim kayomim. I am going to offer an explanation to establish the words of the chachomim. In other words, there was a statement made that the tumas mace is communicated through something that has ovei hamadeh, which is a third of a tefach. Now, even though, as we mentioned earlier, there is that tumas oihel, to be communicated through this overhang, it has to have a full tefach, not a third of it, a full tefach in width. Rabbi Akiva says, I will still explain things to include this concept of overshadowing or overhang of a ovei hamadeh, a third of a tefach. Shiu kol, let's read this line again. Ani asakein, shiu divrei chachomim kayomim, shiu kol hametatalin, Mevien esatuma al ha'adam shenoisei oison ba'ovei hamardeya. That through rabbinic ruling, midarabonan, vessels will communicate tuma to the person that's carrying them, even if the vessel is a mere ovei hamardeya, even if it's a third of a tefach in width. On this point, Rabbi Tarfon disagrees. V'al atzmon b'kol shehein, tumah will be brought upon the vessel itself, even if it has a minimum size. It has no size to it. It's very, very small. V'al shar odom v'kelim b'poseach tefach. For other people, someone other than the one that is bringing it, or other vessels, then they will become tumah only if it has a tefach in width, a full tefach in width. So that Rabbi Akiva's compromise, so to speak, is that with regard to the person that's carrying it, he will become tamei midrabanan if the vessel has a mere oivei hamardea. As far as other people are concerned, someone other than the one carrying it, they might be under this thing, they won't become tameh unless it has a width of a full tefach. Rashi points out, and I'm going to read a few words in Rashi. It's toward the end of the Rashi, Dibur HaMaskil, Ani Asakishu Divrei Chachomim. We've squiggle underlined the word avol in the middle of the line. Rashi says, avol shar odom v'kelim she'ein noigin boi, other people and vessels that are not touching this this vessel that has a oive hamardea to it, v'ein olecho litamon klal, there's no reason to mitama them at all. They're not in contact with it. Ein mevi'en shum tumo elu b'pazer tefach. They will not become tamei unless it has a tefach in width. The difference between other people and the person carrying it is, as we mentioned earlier, the person carrying it does become tamei. He becomes tamei midoraisa, becomes tamei, but only tumas erev. So the Rabbanan expanded that to metamehim tumas shiva, a full week of tumah. Other people, though, that aren't in contact with it, and once again, you're dealing with something that's oivei hamardeya, so nothing happens to them. The source continues, the Gemara continues, that is, v'omer avyanai, umardeya shomru, the mardeya, this ox goad that we mentioned, ein b'ovyoi tefach, it doesn't have a width of a tefach, v'yesh b'hekefo tefach, but it has a circumference of a tefach. The gozru al hekefo mishum ovyo, and they imposed this rabbinic tumah on the person carrying it, being that it has a circumference of a tefach, so they made a gzera on something that has a circumference of a tefach, in anticipation of something that has the width of a tefach. And if it would have the width of a tefach, so he would be tomei tumas shiva, he'd be tomei for 7 days, midoraisa. Ulu Rabbi Tarfon di Omar akapeach es bonesh akazu mikupachas. According to Rabbi Tarfon, who disregarded this halacha of the oive hamardea that we just discussed, basrulu, so this will not be one of the 18 gezeros that were made by ruling like Beis Shammai over Beis Hillel. So we're going to be now missing from the list. Amar of Nachma Yitzchok, af benois kusim nidos me'arisoson bo bayom gozru. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok explains that as far as Rabbi Tarfon's list is concerned, he acknowledges that the ruling concerning benos kusim nidos me'arisoson was ruled on that day, the day that was alluded to in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel, that featured the list that mentioned 18 gzeros. Ube'idach Svirulei, regarding the case of the vessels placed under the pipe that we saw in Tezaimut Beis, ube'idoch Svirulei k'Rebbe Meir. Rabbi Tarfon will hold like Rabbi Meir that said that was an example of something, and we have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text that enables you to see back to Daf Tezaimut Beis where this is coming from, where Rabbi Meir said Nimnu v'Rovu Beis Shammai al Beis Hillel, where Beis Shammai did overrule Beis Hillel, and hence it does count as one of the gzeros. So Rabbi Tarfon adopts Rabbi Meir's approach, thereby enabling him to count the case of the Kli Tachas HaTzinor as one of the gzeros. As Mitzvah Shem, next time you'll see the Gemara continues in trying to complete the list of 18 by asking V'idach, where you see another bow tie. However, this concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.